say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
This is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Hello, guys.
Hi.
Hello again.
You kind of imitated me once, you know, said, and this is Jeff Davis.
I did. I did it more than once, just that was in front of you.
You hurt my feelings.
Did he do good? Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
And this is Jeff Davis.
That kind of sounded like Jeff.
Yeah, you know, people say to me, do you enjoy hearing yourself on the radio? Well, I don't at this point because if I hear myself, I push the button and go to the next station, you know. But it is, nonetheless, it's kind of fun, you know. I love broadcasting. And do you enjoy doing the show?
We've enjoyed
it
a lot.
You're good at it.
Good.
Yeah.
You're very good at it, both of you, actually.
No.
Well together. You're a good team, actually.
If we've been together for 22 years.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? You two have been working together for 22 years.
We haven't got a work divorce yet.
Yes, we have.
We had a separation.
Yeah, that's right, a separation.
Yeah, it was a separation.
Yeah, you left. You thought the grass was greener, and then you came back.
Yeah.
So you left him.
Uh-huh.
And then you came crawling back, you know.
Uh-huh.
You said you did call crying,
I did.
Actually.
I made the worst mistake of my life. What am I going to do?
Are you the longest tenured employee there at Edelstein?
I will be after Sylvia leaves. No, Tina. Tina's got me beat by a month or two.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
She went away at one time, too. Didn't she go to San Diego or something?
Tina left and came back. You know, Jeff, we call them the boomerang employees. Sylvia left also. My office manager. She left and came back.
Yeah.
Sylvia's been with you how long, though?
22 years also.
Wow. She's retiring, actually.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Wow.
She drives from Athens.
But doesn't that say something when somebody leaves you, it's because they've retired, you know, not because they're going with somebody else?
That will be the next time I leave.
Because when you retire.
When I retire.
Yeah, but you look like you got a long way to go. So
I've
got a lot of years ahead of you.
You're sweet, but not really.
But you enjoy it, though. You love
it? Yeah, I do.
You know, the thing is, though, look, no matter how much you love what you do, at the end of the day, it's still a job. Okay, so not everything about it is going to be wonderful every single day.
No.
There are going to be some things that are rather mundane and some things, you know, you get situations with a particular patient maybe where there's complications or difficulties.
I don't think we ever, in healthcare, you don't really have mundane days, but there are days that can be more stressful than others, yes.
Most of the time I view them as challenges.
Yeah.
Just, you know, when I walk into the day, I don't view each day as looking into it that it's going to be perfect. There are going to be bumps, there are going to be challenges, and it's going to be fun to solve them. It's kind of a puzzle.
Isn't it kind of interesting? Is it kind of fun in a way when you look inside somebody's mouth for the first time? You have a new patient. You don't know what you're going to get when a person opens their mouth.
Yep.
Don't you love that?
I do. It's exciting.
Every mouth is different.
Yes.
And every patient is different that's connected to the mouth.
Yes.
You forgot about that.
Mm. Yes. We have some lovely patients. We saw an interesting gentleman.
I view myself as a detective in that situation, in that first encounter. I'm a detective, and it's my job to figure stuff out.
Do you sometimes say to yourself, you know, sometimes maybe it's worse than you thought it was going to be. They open their mouth, and you're saying to yourself, man, I'm not sure where I'm going to start here. So we've got multiple problems here. We've got to figure out what the best course of action is, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you start? Is there not a cookie cutter kind of situation, but is there a certain place where you start?
But as a periodontist, I'm trained to fix the foundation. So I view myself as an architect of the foundation. So we will, you know, examine the health of the gums and the roots and the bone around the teeth, and then we'll examine the health of the teeth themselves. But I start with the foundation.
The gums.
Yes.
Ground zero.
Ground zero.
And if they're bright red, that's not a good thing, is it?
Not a good thing. Okay. Or if they bleed, it's not a good thing.
Bleed when you brush your teeth and things like that.
Yes. Not good.
Not good. Oh. That means that. Well, if you washed your hands and they bled, would you think that would be a problem?
Mm.
So it's the same exact thing.
Can they have periodontal disease without there being bleeding.
Yes. There's a lot of folks that have had some perinatal treatment, usually some deep scaling maybe, and there's a little bit of better tissue health, and then there could be problems below the surface that has never been addressed because perhaps it returned or the deep scaling just wasn't enough. We see that very commonly today, yeah, where perinatal disease is undertreated and people get a false sense of security.
Absolutely. Do you sometimes, when you say to somebody, look, you've got the beginnings of periodontal disease here, you know, mm-hmm, you don't have full-fledged disease as yet, but I see the signs here and we're at the beginnings of it. Are they surprised generally, or do they say, you know something?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. But the when it's early, we saw someone yesterday who was shocked that she had a problem, but she was glad and grateful that she was seeking treatment. Mm-hmm. And I gave her, you know, a hug and I said, look, it's fixable. It's fixable. Mm-hmm. We're going to save your teeth. We're going to fix this. It's fixable. It's not the end of the world. It's something we're going to fix.
You know, it's like in medicine, you know, your doctor says to you, you know, I just got the results of your blood test here and you've got, you're diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So your A1C is, 6.8 or whatever. I'm not going to be mad. You know, I'm going to be grateful that it was discovered early on.
Yeah.
You know, diabetes, well, there's a correlation between diabetes, mm-hmm, and periodontal disease, but these are things that can be very, very serious.
Yes.
Left untreated. Very serious.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a large percentage of the public that is diabetic and isn't aware that they're diabetic.
Correct.
Just as there's a large percentage who have periodontal disease.
And are not aware.
They don't have a clue.
Yep, you're exactly right.
So how do we keep people comfortable? When you evaluate somebody, Dr. Edelstein, right, mm-hmm, then and there you begin a conversation, a discussion on comfort.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that? Talk
to us
about that.
Sure. Our office is devoted to helping people have the best experiences and the best outcomes. And we take to heart the best experiences. So we want people to be comfortable. We will custom tailor our examination for it to be comfortable. There's a periodontal examination that sometimes patients come in and they'll tell me that was extremely uncomfortable when they went to someone else. Just the periodontal probing,
yeah,
part of what we do.
Frequently, you'll stop and ask, "I'm not pinching you, am I?"
Yeah, I do.
You do say that a lot, just right from the get-go.
You know,
tell
something?
Me if I'm pinching you.
Okay, so now I'm a patient of yours. Okay, mm-hmm, and I've been to your office several times, and I'm not particularly squeamish. But I'm not, you know, Hercules either, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
but I will, when you're about to do a procedure on me, okay, so you pulled a tooth, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm, and then you did the grafting,
yeah,
okay, you also did an implant on me. You know, I was actually looking in your eyes, both of you, because you both were there. You know, you as the patient, you're looking in the doctor's eyes and you're looking in the assistant's eyes. You want to see how they feel about what they're seeing.
That's how I do flight attendants on a plane. Are they smiling when they serve coffee, or are they nervous on this plane flight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know how it's like, you go to your doctor's office and he's going to give you the results of your tests, you know, so you're kind of nervous to begin with. You're sitting there in the office and then the doctor walks in. You're looking at that doctor before they even tell you anything. You can almost kind of get it.
Well, and we do that back with our patients. When we do new patient exams, we're always watching them. Are they nervous in the chair? Are their hands gripped on the chair even during an exam? Are their knuckles white or are they very relaxed? You know, you can pick that up on their first visit. Sometimes they'll verbally tell you, I'm a scaredy cat or I'm really nervous. Dr. Olstein had a friend come in the other day. She just was flat. I'm so nervous. Most of the time they'll tell you, but we're trained to look for cues, physical bodily cues. And so if we start to pick up on that, even though they don't want to talk about it, maybe when it comes time to start recommending their treatment, we will always say, you know, we do have several options. You seem to be a little nervous today. Let's talk about, might we bring something on board to help your active treatment visit
be
more comfortable?
You seem a little nervous. Your hands have just broken the handles on our chair. So that's a sign that perhaps you're...
Yeah.
How about this one? Do you ever have like... You're about to do the procedure, you know, you're a minute away from doing the procedure. You might be 30 seconds. And the patient says, can I go to the bathroom?
Yeah, oh,
that happens all the time.
Does it really?
Yes.
But they just sat there waiting to get numb for 5 minutes. Now that, you know.
You know, actually, when I was there, I wanted to do that. But you know, I figured, well, I'll just hold it in.
Oh.
Although it's getting harder and harder to do.
We do understand that they need to not feel that urge. That's uncomfortable.
I've got a friend who's my age, and he says, you know, at this point in my life, he says, I seldom pass a bathroom without going in. If it's there, I'm gonna stop. And but that could be a sign of nervousness, don't you
think? Sure, yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like a reaction that we have.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Where would you put comfort on the scale with the average patient? You know, let's say on a scale of 1 to 5, how important is that to them?
Oh, I think it's critically important.
I do too.
And therefore, it's important to us.
I mean, is it like a 4 or 5 in there, up in that?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I would say it's one of their top priorities.
Oh, yeah. And therefore, it's ours.
Yeah.
So we go out of our way to help people have good experiences by helping them have a comfortable experience.
Now, you've said that you put it up at the top of the scale, let's say a 4 or a 5. But I wonder, is it appropriate for a patient to evaluate a dentist based on how comfortable they feel? Should that be the number one?
I think it should be a part. If they don't feel comfortable, I wouldn't see a physician if I didn't feel comfortable.
But haven't you ever had it? Look, you've worked with other dentists before, Dr. Edelstein. Mm-hmm. You've known many dentists. Somebody who's maybe, I don't want to say a bull in a china shop, but, you know, no bedside manner at all. Nothing. But is nonetheless a pretty good practitioner.
And I also know other dentists that are extremely gentle.
And terrible
dentists. So I don't think it's a good guide of the quality of the dentistry that someone will do, but I think it might be a gauge of the compassion that they have. And
yeah.
I think that's an important aspect, even though it may be independent of the dentistry, the quality of the dentistry. I think people need to have compassion in this business. So we put that as a priority, but it's not necessarily a good gauge of whether someone is being well cared for.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and we don't think of this, I think, but it does happen from time to time. Sometimes the dentist or the doctor, and I put doctors and dentists in the same category, but you never know. They could have personal problems. You could be having a bad day, you know, so you might have just had a fight with your spouse or something, or, you know, you just had a fender bender, or, you know, you're getting sued by somebody, or you're suing. I mean, there could be something personally going on in your life.
Sure.
As the dentist, and I wonder.
Or a divorce.
All right, but do you have to try to put on a happy face?
I think if you're a professional caring for people, you have to try very hard to be a professional.
I give my staff members a pep talk frequently when they're going through a troubled time, like some of the ones we mentioned, like an accident or a car being out of service. And, you know, I'll pull someone aside. I'll say, come on, you gotta get a grip, you know, and as you said, put on a happy face. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to leave the outside stuff outside the office and care for the patient you're with.
Yeah. And there are some horror stories out there. I had a lady who worked for me years ago. She was married to an orthopedic surgeon who was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And she said it was terrible. I mean, he'd have to like cancel surgery sometimes.
And wow.
He couldn't get control of his situation.
Oh, and that's sad.
Yeah. It was terrible. They got divorced eventually. I don't know if he's still practicing medicine, but yeah, he was quite a mess at that time.
Yeah, that's bad.
All right. When we come back, though, we're talking about comfort today. And, you know, last week, Dr. Edelstein, you mentioned a certain anesthetic that you use sometimes that it's more expensive than the usual kind, but it works so much better.
It's not just the anesthetic. It's the topical that we use.
The topical.
The pre-anesthetic as well.
That's
as the anesthetic.
That's more expensive, too.
We use the most expensive one that penetrates the best so that people have the best experience with the Novocaine injection.
Can we talk about that when we come back?
Yes, of course.
That's interesting. So it's not just the anesthetic, it's the pre-anesthetic too.
Yes.
I wasn't aware of that. Okay. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein from the office of Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist, located at 2045 Peachtree Road. You're right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, right next to the Darlington Apartments. What was the figure that you saw? 6 million?
6442.
6442. 6,442,000 people in Metro Atlanta now.
Yes.
What was that figure years ago. Do you remember? Was
it? Oh, when I first came to town in 77, it was maybe $1.5 million.
Wow. And now
same
it's
sign.
More than four times that.
Yes.
Same sign.
Same exact sign.
All right. Visit mygumdoc.com. Mygumdoc.com. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. The show is Open Wide. I want to remind everybody of your new patient special, $129. Well, you say to yourself, $129, well, it's still $129, but you get $650 worth of services.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes even more, I think. Because what I got, it seemed like would have cost more money than $650. But
it depends. Yeah, it depends how many X-rays and CT scans we would have to take.
Sure, for just $129.
Right.
That patient we saw yesterday. We also did a cosmetic digital simulation.
Yeah.
Because we did a smile enhancement.
Yeah.
So that was probably in excess of that figure.
Mm. Yeah.
The simulations, though, that's very effective, isn't it, though?
Well, in her case, it helped her visualize the way her smile would more than likely look after we did the cosmetic procedure to enhance her
gumline. Yeah, not just her smile, but her overall appearance, because we do a full face shot with it. So they get to see
exactly what they would
exactly
really.
How they look.
You know, I had somebody in my office today. He's revamping our website, and he was telling me we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do the other thing. And finally, I said to him, and it was kind of like way over my pay grade. Finally, I said, just do a rough draft, you know, mock-up or something. Do it. Let me see what it looks like, because mm-hmm. I can't visualize what you're talking about mm-hmm. here. You know, I need to, like, see it.
Well,
and that's what the simulation does.
That's what
yeah.
it does.
All right. See, we said before the break, you mentioned not just the anesthetic, but the
yes.
pre-anesthetic.
Yeah. You know, the numbing gel that we will put on the tissue to get someone numb so that they have a more painless injection. We use the more expensive medication that penetrates better and more profoundly. And then we also use the more expensive Novocaine anesthetic. It's not Novocaine, but that's what everyone knows what it's called. But there's one that's come on the market last 10 years or so, 5 to 10 years, that's far more expensive than the generic lidocaine to get someone numb. It penetrates better. And it works quicker, and people get a more profound anesthesia.
Excellent.
Because of it. It's much more expensive, but it's worth it. That way we enhance patient comfort. The other thing that we do is, then this is going to blow your mind, we special order the needles that we use for a good part of the mouth. We can use an extremely thin and tiny needle that's smaller than what is available through the normal
really?
Supply houses.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
oh, I love that.
We go out of our way to get this teeny, 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 tiny, tiny needle again so we can enhance patient comfort.
So you've seen the whole gamut, though, in
yes.
patients.
Yes.
You know what I
yeah.
mean? From the most squeamish to the
mm-hmm.
most...
Stoic.
Stoic. That's the word I was just thinking
yeah.
of in Greek, you know, stoicism.
Yeah.
and by the way, it's not always... So the Marine captain is not necessarily the most stoic.
Mm-mm.
Right?
No, exactly.
That mm-mm. Marine captain could be, feigning or something.
Well, studies have shown that men do have a lower pain threshold than women.
I completely believe that mm-hmm. because, you know, women, well, among other things, they give birth. That's something I could...
Oh, we're used to pain.
I would die if I
we're
had to
used
do
to pain.
Yeah. Oh, Sue. You're so tough.
Oy vey. But I'll be okay. You go ahead. Do you have patients who sometimes say to you, now, wait a minute, tell me what you're going to be doing here. I want to know every step of the way.
We see it all.
Do you?
Those that want to know everything and they feel better if they know, and those that just come in and close their eyes, I don't want to know, don't show me.
Just do
Let
it.
Let me have the sunglasses now, I'm going to close my eyes. It's whatever makes them feel better. And that's really what we've tried to excel at over the last, I'd probably say the last 10 or 15 years. We've mm-hmm. really evolved to, what does that person need? It's not what we think they need for comfort. What do they need?
All right, here's a question I've always wanted to ask. When you're giving an injection to somebody, do you try to hide the needle at all to any You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or at least to avoid like having it right there in their face.
We
like,
don't wave it around, you know.
You know what I'm saying?
Passed under their chin. We don't need to put it in their face.
Yes, it's like under my, you know, and then finally, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to hear something funny? Greg, my assistant, on April Fool's.
I love Greg.
Yeah, he's he's a jokester. He's a good guy. On April Fool's Day, we had this patient that's been a patient for 15 or 20 years, and I had to make him numb. And he found a syringe that had a needle the size of a pencil. It wasn't sharp.
Oh, gosh, it was amazing.
So he passed that in front of the patient.
You know, it was like for a horse.
Yeah, it was that big. He passed that in front of the patient just and you know, just to tease him on April Fool's Day. And it was funny. It was a good joke.
Do you ever have a patient lose it, if you know what I mean? Do they freak out?
Oh, sure.
Sometimes it happens. We had a guy today who, he was so nervous. He reacts to the injections. He gets sweaty and kind of panic-stricken and a little faint feeling. And, you know, we used humor with him. For him, once we got the cues going, for him it seemed if we joked and were humorous, he could get past it. Mm-hmm. You know, he worked very hard to help himself, actually. He was a great patient.
He also had a sedative.
Yeah. Oh, did he really? I didn't know that. Wow.
You have some who they won't let you do anything without a sedative.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And that's fine if that's what they need. Absolutely.
We also have nitrous oxide, you know, laughing gas, mm-hmm. or both.
We can combine them.
But, you know, I see some of the advertising sometimes. Maybe I saw a sign somewhere or an ad in a paper or something. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like the gentle dentist who's going to put you to sleep. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That kind of like what they might even have a picture, like a cartoon of somebody sleeping. And it just seems like. I don't like it. I mean, to me, there's nothing wrong with putting a patient to sleep where appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But not just, it's almost like this is what we routinely do for everybody. We put them to sleep.
Yeah, so patients are shocked to find out when we start talking to them about what their treatment is. You mean I don't have to go to sleep for that? Nothing we do requires IV sedation. It would be only if a patient said, I can't get it done unless because of their own fear factor.
And then you do it.
It's not us dictating that to them.
Do you ever have them try to back out? You know what I mean?
Because of fear?
Yeah. They're going to have the procedure done today, okay? And then they get there and they go, you know, I just don't know that I can.
I don't know if that's ever happened.
No, I don't think that's ever happened.
No.
But we do on occasion have a true dental phobic patient. Which is a complete...
They just avoid treatment altogether.
Yeah, that'll be someone
that's
who...
That's terrible.
Yeah, they just
that's
stay away.
Such a shame.
It's sad.
It's sad because...
They really do have a true issue. It's
and they're really hurting themselves.
Yeah.
You know, I think... Tell me if my analogy is right, mm-hmm. but I think of, you know, the... I might have mentioned this in a previous show. The little crack in the windshield.
Yeah, I think you may have mentioned that once or twice.
But isn't it a good analogy?
Yes, I mean, it's a great...
That crack's not getting smaller.
It's a great analogy.
It's going to get bigger.
Worse.
And we start to fool ourselves and we say, you know, it goes from 1 inch, let's say now it's 3 inches. And you say to yourself, you know, it's been 3 inches the whole time. Well, actually, no, it hasn't. It was 1 inch.
Yeah.
You know, and now a week later, it's 3 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And a few months and a few years later, it's you can't drive your car because the windshield is so cracked. I mean, they're really debilitated dentally.
Okay. Now, I've got to ask you, Sue and Dr. Edelstein, about the music in your office.
Mm-hmm.
You have that wonderful music that I love. I don't know whether you got it from...
Well, we will alternate. We'll either play a really cool Sirius station or Pandora station because we really want there to be... I mean, it's by design. I have a very good friend who's a dentist, and he likes acid rock. So mm-hmm. he plays acid rock in his office.
Yeah, I don't want to hear acid rock.
All the time. I mean, even if I liked acid rock, I'd play it in the car for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't impose on other people. So I really try to choose music that, you know, I don't want elevator music, but I don't want something that's going to make people nervous or jumpy or anything like that. I want something that's going to be relaxing for the majority of the patients that, and I know that's you can't always please everyone in that category, but we try to choose something like that can be considered comforting to most patients.
But contemporary and fresh. We'll tell patients. We do have headphones. Dr. Edelstein will keep a supply on hand and hand them to patients if they need them. We'll tell them to bring their own headphones, bring their own iPhone. Who doesn't have a smartphone? Bring your headphones. Play what they want to listen to. It might be a book on tape.
Mm-hmm. How about if they're cold? Is there a blanket?
They get a blanket.
Blanket?
We have they get a beautiful blankets.
They get a blankie.
They get a hot. They get a blankie.
They get a blankie, Jeff.
I've got some little lavender aromatherapy I'll put in their lip balm.
You know, my granddaughter was probably, I don't know, she was about seven at the time, six. My wife and I were at their house, and God, we were freezing, and she said, I'll go get a blankie. She went and brought back a blanket for us. You know, we had a guy in here the other day. It was last week. So there were four guys in the room, and the one fellow came, left the studio here, went over to my office, and he said, do you mind if I turn the thermostat down? I mean, I'm dying. I'm sweating to death. I said, no, not at all. He said, well, do you want to put it on the setting yourself? Because you got a little sign here that says, don't touch the thermostat. I said, all right, I'll come in there with you, and I'll turn it down. So I started to turn it down, and the other three guys looked at me, and they said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm turning it down. Jim is very warm. And I said, what are you, nuts? They were all freezing. This one guy was,
that's
you know,
funny.
Yeah.
He was having menopause.
He was a rather large
I wrapped myself in a blankie last night to watch the Carolina-Villanova game.
You're rooting for Villanova? You went to Penn.
I went to Penn. But and I remember passing by Villanova a few times when I was up there. But Amy, my wife, she's a Tar Heel.
Okay.
She's a Tar Heel, a diehard Tar Heel. Well, she went there.
Okay.
So she has this... as a matter of fact, she teases me all the time. She says that I went to Cornell because I couldn't get into a good school like North Carolina. But I actually have a funny story. Last time they were in the final, I think it was 08 or 09, wasn't it, Jeff? Carolina, their final game.
Sounds right.
It was somewhere in there. And Amy, the most level-headed, most even-keeled woman I've ever met, okay? Sometime during halftime of that game, this was back when we had a house phone, you know, a clunky, it wasn't on a cord, but it was
like a cordless.
It was a cordless house phone. We don't have a house phone anymore, which is wonderful, by the way.
Yeah.
I recommend that.
Who
highly
needs it?
Yeah. The only people that call are telemarketers or an aunt or an uncle that we don't want to talk to anyway.
I know.
So at any rate, during halftime comes around and the Silverado commercial comes on for the third time that I've seen three times earlier. And it was during halftime. So I just changed the channel to see what else was on. And she apparently, the phone call ended. She was on the phone. The phone call ended.
What do you mean? Was it one of those aunts or uncles that you were talking about?
It happened to be a girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
So she was chit-chatting away during halftime, and the phone call ended, and she took this phone and she threw it at me across the room. I ducked. It hit the wall and broke into pieces. And it's like, what happened? My God, what are you? This is the woman who never yells, never gets, you know,
right.
Very even keeled. She goes, you don't change the channel when North Carolina is in the final game. Yeah. I said it was halftime. I wanted to watch the halftime show. I said it was a commercial during halftime, the one that I've seen for three times.
Silverado.
You don't change the channel when North Carolina is. So last night, the final game again. And unfortunately, North Carolina lost. That's all the story, because I think she cried all night.
Yeah,
yeah. But she was in one room and I was in the other. I was in another room. I didn't want to watch it with her. I knew she'd be so flipped out about the whole game. Yeah.
Well, this is going to be a terrible night for me now.
Believe me, it was.
Yeah. You know, Rick Fox, you know who he is? Rick
yes.
Fox. So he's been here many times.
The next time he's in town, let me know. She's good buddies with him.
Really?
She was when they were there together, and she was very good friends with him.
Really?
Hmm.
Boy, he had a great NBA career, too.
Yeah.
And he was dear friends with the late Dean Smith.
Yes.
And he had said to me, oh, this was, you know, a year and a half ago. I said, how's Dean Smith doing? He said, not well. He said he's doing very poorly.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, he's doing worse now.
He's doing worse now. All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask about some of the in-office OTCs, ibuprofen, Tylenol, et cetera, et cetera. You know, do you ever... If you have a stay at the hospital, you know, they charge you, they nickel and dime you for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if they give you a cotton ball, there's a charge for the cotton ball. And
true.
it's not a dime, you know, like $5 for a cotton ball. I want to ask you about that because, well, you do have costs. And I want to discuss some of the things that you do to keep your patients comfortable.
Sure.
The OTCs. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. been working together for 22 years now. Mm-hmm. And it says a lot for your office because you're not the longest tenured employee.
I know.
There.
What does Sylvia that say? I'm the third down.
You're like third. You have, yeah, what's your name, Tina?
Tina and Sylvia.
And Sylvia, you're number three.
I know.
Well, you're about to move up to number two when number one retires.
Yep.
Only because she's retiring.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk about that and a lot of other things when we return. Folks, visit mygumdoc.com. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And so your wife, Amy, you introduced her to me, as you said, Jeff, this is the infamous Amy.
I did.
And you were kidding around, but because you had talked about her a lot.
I did.
With me, you know. And she's a Tar Heel. Where is she from?
She's from Atlanta.
Okay, but she went to UNC.
She went to UNC, uh-huh. Yeah. And she loved it. She had a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I went to Wake Forest, which is a competitor down the street. But there used to be these, I don't know if they still have them, they probably still do. They used to have these bumper stickers that said, if God isn't a Tar Heel, then why is the sky Carolina blue? Because that's their colors are like that powder blue.
I know,
The sky. Have you been to Chapel Hill?
It was a rite of passage.
Okay.
I think we were barely.
What do you mean, you couldn't get married until you had the
correct. I think we were engaged. We're going on 20 years. So this was about 21 years ago. Wow, it's hard to believe. Time flies. But I had.
Does it seem like 50 years? No, I'm just kidding.
No, it just it
flies.
It's just hard to realize it's 20 years. That's amazing. But I had to see North Carolina play in the Dean Dome. I had to. I mean, it was like a rite of passage for me. I had to see what was something that was so important to her. Mm-hmm. And she was right. We had a great time. Wow. We had a wonderful time. We've been back a few times. We've been back with the kids once or twice.
Isn't Chapel Hill itself a beautiful town?
It's a neat. You ever been?
Yeah. It's there one time.
It's a neat town, a neat college town.
I think of it as the ultimate college town. I really do.
Yeah, it is. It's.
I think it's prettier than Athens, quite frankly. I think it's just a beautiful town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a neat place. You can see why people are you know kind of fanatical about Chapel Hill.
Yeah, you said you've been married 21 years now, and the time has flown, and all that kind of stuff. So my wife and I have a 10-year-old granddaughter, and my daughter told my wife that she's already starting to just at the beginnings of like starting to develop a little bit or what. And I don't know any of the details, nor did
you
I.
You don't want to know.
Except that I turned to my wife and I said, she just got here. She's developing. I mean, she was born yesterday. Because that 10 years has flown by.
I know. It's amazing.
It's funny.
I can't know. And to me, it's like, what's the rush?
Yeah.
You know? You know, it's like, we have somebody here who said her son was in high school, you know, and he didn't have a girlfriend yet. He hadn't had a girlfriend yet. He was already like in 11th grade. He hadn't had a girlfriend. To me, it's like, what's the rush?
Uh-huh.
You know, that stuff only gets you in trouble.
I know it.
You know?
My daughter, who's 18, just not too long ago, announced that she announced her first boyfriend.
Yeah, you told me about him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a terrific guy.
Yeah, and wait a minute, she's going to go to the University of Arizona?
She's going to the University of Arizona, and he's going to Stanford to play football.
That's right. You told me that's amazing.
He turned down Princeton to go to Stanford.
Wow.
So he's a great...
Bigger football program anyway, among other things.
Interesting football program, and, you know, the school, one school is just as good as the other, but Stanford, it's tough to turn down the Stanford football program.
It is.
So that's where he's off to.
All right, so when I come to your office, now I know from whence I speak because I've been to your office several times and I'm a patient of yours. So these OTCs like ibuprofen, Tylenol.
Yes.
People sometimes, do they want stronger stuff? Do they want something like, you know, come on, doc, give me something that's really going to.
Yeah, but we wouldn't stock it in the office or we prescribe it if necessary, but we wouldn't dispense it in the office.
Right.
What we would do is if... You know, let's say I'm in the middle of a procedure or at the end of a procedure, and someone is still numb. I have found over the years, and there are actually some studies to support this, that if someone can take ibuprofen, and if you can get that started before things wake up, or even preload it before the procedure, and it's in the system before things wake up, then their perception of pain is way reduced.
Wow.
So, or Tylenol if ibuprofen is contraindicated. So we make that available on a complimentary basis, knowing ahead of time that chances are, for most procedures, they won't have to take anything else.
Wow.
And the Novocaine, or as I mentioned before, the stronger version of the Novocaine will wear off.
We still think of it as Novocaine, though. Well, that's layman.
That's the
ether, you know?
Yes.
I don't think they've used ether in 50 years.
Yeah, something like that. But, you know, so we will get that on board, if you will, get that in their system. And majority of patients don't even have to fill the discomfort medication that I actually prescribe. So that really helps out a lot.
What about the deeper penetrating local anesthetic?
Mm-hmm.
In what situations is that used?
Most situations, most really, especially for the upper arch. It's exquisitely helpful, mm-hmm. and lower arch too.
Yeah,
it's exquisitely beneficial because it penetrates more deeply. It's a little more concentrated. And it provides a little more profound anesthesia. So yeah, if anyone's ever been to the dentist, then if something was numb but wasn't 100% numb, this doesn't guarantee it, of course, but this assures that someone will be more profoundly numb and won't feel something.
Really?
Yes.
Is one side of the mouth, or is the upper more sensitive than the bottom, or the bottom
different.
More sensitive?
It's different.
How so?
The upper is more porous, so the anesthetic that we use penetrates more readily. The lower arch has denser bone, and we normally have to do nerve blocks to make the lower numb.
Given the choice, would you rather work on the top or the bottom, or does it not matter? You know, I would think it's easier to see the bottom, isn't it?
Well,
I think it's easier to see the top.
Well,
do you? Just answer Jeff's question.
I don't know. I never really thought about top. Yeah, it is much easier to work in the front of the mouth than it is the back of the mouth.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would rather. I mean, when we have to do things on the inside of the top or the inside of the bottom, all the way in the back, it access is hard. It's hard to see. It's hard to retract the tongue sometimes. But if someone needs it, we do it.
You know.
But it is easier towards the front of the mouth just for access.
You know, a few weeks ago, I bought a grill, stainless steel grill, a pretty nice grill. And, you know, they look so beautiful when they're on display there. And they look.
They're gleaming, yeah, and you can smell the steak.
Yeah.
And
so I went and bought the thing, and of course, they give me a box. You know, I'm not the kind to, you know, do these sort of things, but I figured, well, I'll put it together myself. I usually have this fellow who does it for me, but he wasn't available. So you should have seen me following the instructions. I'm like, well, folks, you can't see this because it's radio, but I'm like, I've got the thing and I'm turned around. You know what I mean? They say,
down.
Do this on the back. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm like lifting up the grill from the bottom. Now, what am I, you know what I mean? I'm turning around my instructions upside down to try to figure out, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I've been there.
It's surgery can be like that sometimes.
We've all been there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not crazy.
No.
All right. We have to take yet another break. When we come back, I'd like to ask about the nitrous oxide, you know, the infamous
laughing
gas, as we say. And I want to know also, is it a form of truth serum? When people start telling you things they wouldn't normally tell you, and what sorts of things? Can't wait to find out. I'm on the edge of my seat. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein from the office of Bruce Edelstein, periodontist. DDS is your degree, I believe,
yes.
And then you have the advanced training as well. Visit mygumdoc.com. They're located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Plenty of free parking that you have there. Never had a parking issue ever. Because, you know, before I went to your office, I thought, well, Buckhead, geez, what am I going to do with the park? Well, you have your own lot there, and it's free.
Yeah. We also have our own reserve spots in the front of the
I know.
Lot.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Covered.
Yes.
As well, so.
So you can rush in and you don't have to mess up your hair, Jeff.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, you don't have to worry about getting out before you get to the next incremental hour.
Yeah.
You're going to validate me.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein in just a moment.
And And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And we're talking about patient comfort, something that's very important to you. It's very important to the patients. But like you said earlier in the show, Dr. Edelstein, it's important to provide comfort for your patients. But there are some dentists who it's just their manner or something about them that it's not it doesn't lend itself to comfort, and yet they're very good practitioners of their profession nonetheless. But it's certainly not preferred, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But anyway. So let's talk about nitrous oxide. Sure. When do you use nitrous oxide? I've never had it, but...
Well, it basically takes the edge off of things. It does create some sedation, and it does numb the nerve endings a little bit, so people tend to feel less, and they care less about what they feel. It gives them a euphoric, a little bit of a high feeling, and it is quite helpful for patients that are nervous. I could tell you a quick funny story, another infamous Amy story. We were at a restaurant kind of near the office, and we just came back from a beach trip, and Amy had the worst splinter in her toe. I mean, if I tell you this was the size of a toothpick, I mean, this was terrible.
Really?
It was definitely down to the bone in the toe.
Oh. Yeah.
So we made a decision, either we go across the street to the office or we have to go to the emergency room to get it taken out. So I said, all right, let me try. It's just a splinter. How bad could it be? So if we go into the office and I take a close look under a brighter light. Imagine the worst splinter you've ever seen by far.
Wow.
So
I'd stabbed.
Right. So I get her started on nitrous, and she never had it before. So she's giggling, and she's like, oh, I like this. And she's like carrying on, and she's having a great time. And I looked at it again. I said, "Damn, I got to get this numb. This is terrible." So I took out the syringe with the anesthesia, and it was even the little tiny needle that I talked about earlier, and I guess our kids were like maybe 6 and 8 at the time, or 7 and 10, something like that, and one of them looks at the needle that I was about to put in the bottom of mom's foot and says, "Oh wow, that's got to hurt."
Oh.
and Amy was high on the nitrous oxide. She started. She just started laughing uncontrollably because she thought it was so funny that our daughter said that's got to hurt. I got to tell you, she hardly felt it.
Really? So it didn't hurt.
Well, because of the nitrous oxide, it would have hurt like the dickens.
Is it a form of truth serum to some extent?
No,
not really. No. You think it is?
Not really.
But not really. People just get relaxed.
If you put me on. It, am I going to say something that I'm going to regret later?
It's a relaxing, euphoric feeling.
Yeah.
Like imagine like two martinis.
An empty stomach.
Okay.
But maybe there's a little bit more of a numbing of the nerves, in addition to have that feeling of two martinis.
Yeah.
Now, can you give them nitrous plus an oral sedative, kind of a combination?
Well, we can. You need a sedation permit to do that, and we do have the permit and to do that sort of thing. But so they get the best of both worlds. They have some. It's synergistic because they have two different agents, making them feel
better. Work in tandem.
Yes.
So you have some patients who say to you, I want the maximum sedation, whatever you got.
Every once in a while, yeah.
Put me in a coma.
Well, then we'll use a third agent. So we do have a protocol for three that will put people in a very nice place.
Wow. That's great. And, like I say, it's there's a lot more to practicing periodontics than keeping the patient comfortable.
Yes.
But it sure is a very nice thing that you do for your patients. Like I say, I've been in your chair several times, and I've always felt comfortable. Well, and again, just know I'm looking in your eyes.
talk about looking in our eyes. When I'm doing procedures, I may not be looking in a patient's eyes, but I'm indirectly observing their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can always tell if someone feels something by their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're a very stoic patient, and even if they don't show their emotions, I can always tell by seeing in their eyes or their eyelids or the wrinkles around their mm-hmm. eyes. I can always tell if someone wow. is in pain or not mm-hmm. or feel something or not. Mm-hmm. So I'm always looking at their eyes.
I can tell. It's a huge priority for you in your practice.
Uh-huh. It's huge.
Keeping the patient comfortable.
And we're very observant of that.
And on that note, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And I'll be at your office later this month.
So and you'll be very comfortable.
Keep it comfortable.
Oh, perfect.
We will.
Guys, visit mygumdoc.com. They're located at 2045 Peachtree Road. Periodontist Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Visit mygumdoc.com. And Sue and Dr. Edelstein, has always been a great pleasure, and I appreciate you both.
Thank you. We love coming. Thank you.
Yes, thanks.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.